Genesis study number 59, and we are going to finish up Genesis chapter 25. We left off in verse 18, and I want to send out a hillbilly holler out to John Hauser in Florida. Brother John's been listening for a little while that we know of, and just want to let him know we appreciate him and send out a holler. That jingle noise, if you hear that, that's my puppy. I got a couple of puppies that are scared because we're getting thunder. And here's the real scaredy cat. This guy, he thinks he's the bravest thing until we start getting thunder. And then all of a sudden, he turns into a little toddler and wants to be held. But I'll let him just sit by my... He likes to sit by my feet while I'm teaching. So let's get into the text with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to get into this book. I just pray, Lord, that we can be helpful to the brothers and sisters in Christ who love the King James Bible, who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, love the Lord, love His Word. We just want to help them to be able to study. And we're thankful for all the people that are watching. And we've heard from many of them who are being edified by these studies. Thank you for the privilege. May we be accurate in what we teach with your help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis 25 in our previous study. First half of Genesis 25, the death of Abraham. And also we got a summary of the life and then death of Ishmael. And so now we're going to pick up with the married life of Isaac and Rebekah in verse 19. It says in verse 19, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac." And what it means when it says the generations of, that means Isaac's going to become a father. Verse 20 says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, and the sister to Laban the Syrian." Pretty interesting when you see the news and you see what's going on in Syria and how Syria plays such a big role in the end of things. But here right in the beginning, the book of beginnings, book of Genesis, we actually are getting the chosen nation is coming out of the people who were originally in that area of Syria. Abraham and his people came from Ur of the Chaldees, which is near Babylon, and in Babylonian territory, and his people took up that area that went up into Syria. And so Isaac's 40 years old, and that's what we call middle-aged these days. I remember when I graduated from high school, I knew some fellows that were 40 years old, and I thought, man, they're so old. And I've surpassed that now, and I'm beyond. It's all downhill from here. Over the hill. Verse 22 continues, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived." The Lord answers prayer. Jesus says, "You have not because you ask not." Who knows? If Isaac hadn't prayed, he may never had a kid. Okay, well, we knew Isaac was going to have a kid. But prayer played a part. And it may have been, if Isaac had waited, maybe he'd been older before he'd had a kid. Well, he's going to have two kids at one time, as we see. So Isaac's going to be a daddy. And verse 22 says, "And the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." Now, I'm going to start by saying I just can't even imagine being pregnant in the first place, okay? I say this over and over, and I will say it over and over. And if people misunderstand me, you're not listening to what I say. I don't mean this in any way as disrespect. I mean it as a statement of respect. I am so glad I'm not a woman. I cannot imagine being a woman. Why? Because I'm a wimp. I had a mom and a sister, I've had three daughters, and I have a wife I still am thankfully married to, that I see what they have to put up with. I see the issues, this is going to sound crude, but it's the way we talk. This is the way my people talk. They're plumbing. And all the things that go on to it, not just internally, the hormonal things, and we make light of it and joke about it. It's not really funny. I mean, it's nothing to do about it. They're women. And it's the part of the fall. It's the fall said that women would conceive children in sorrow, I believe is the word. Let me double check myself. Some of you probably know the Bible by heart and don't have to check these things, but I always have to double check. Not saying I just always doubt myself, but I just want to make sure that I get it right. And he says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, unto the woman, the Lord speaking, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, so I use the right word there, and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. Now if you look carefully, it says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The sorrow isn't just the conception. It's and thy conception. So it means he's basically saying, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And what is that? That comes with the whole menstrual cycle, the thing of pregnancy. Some women aren't able to give birth. There's so many things that can go wrong, and cancers and cysts and things like that. And I hope I'm not being too graphic, but I'm just trying to, you know, lay it out that I can't imagine being a woman and being and then being pregnant, having a human being inside of you for 9 months, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally you give birth, and it's a painful process. I do not criticize women. Some of these men are just jerks. And if a woman goes to the hospital and gets a shot, gets some kind of pain meds, I don't criticize them. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. I know I'm probably going to get all the midwives and people. I support midwifery. My grandkids have been born through midwifery, but one had to end up going to the hospital and all that. But what I am saying is that I just leave it up to them. And if you can do the whole natural thing, give birth and go out and plant a garden afterwards, God bless you. But I just can't imagine that. So here she is going through all the normal things, and then she's got two kids, so twins. I've always heard that gets interesting, and then she feels them struggling within her. I just can't imagine what that's like. And especially, if they got their days and nights mixed up. Babies do that in the womb. I think it's because the moms are kind of busy and move around and talking, and it kind of puts them to sleep, like a kid in the car. Kid riding the car goes to sleep. But then when the mommy lays down and it gets all quiet, that's when the baby comes alive, comes awake. And so she had twins, and if this was going on all night long, I can imagine it was wearing her out. So what could you do? You'd pray, because I know the doctors can't do anything, because I've known women who've gone through something similar to this. And so she inquires of the Lord. Well, the Lord answers. In verse 23 says, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, don't confuse this with the prophecy where that's quoted in Romans, where it says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That doesn't come here. That is a prophecy that is given after they are born, and it's about nations, not about the individual men. The Calvinists love to pervert that and take it out of its context, and we're not going to allow that, at least in our studies. But he does prophesy here. It's kind of a divine ultrasound he gives her here, and says, you've got two nations in your womb. There's twins, and they're two nations, two manner of people, and says the one shall be stronger and the other than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. There's the prophecy, and that again, it's not the same prophecy quoted by the Calvinists, and we'll deal with that when we come to it. So, just want to mention that this is a prophecy that the Lord speaks to Rebekah, and she's given this information. But listen, if some YouTube chick comes on and claims to hear from God or have dreams or visions or something, that's not legitimate. Those people with these sorts of revelations, they're frauds. The Bible didn't exist at this time. And up until the Bible is completed, we have periods of time where God speaks, but not always. You'll hear people say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and therefore since He spoke to Rebecca, He'll speak to me. Not true. There have been times even before the Bible was done where there were periods of time where God was silent. And during the Judges, there's times where God's not speaking to them. And then He raises up a judge and gives them some relief. They fall back into apostasy. God goes silent again. And then fast forward to after the Old Testament era is complete with Malachi, and there's a 400-year, four-century silence between the Old Testament prophets of in our Old Testament book and the prophet John the Baptist, who was considered the last of the Old Testament prophets, actually. But there was a 400-year period between the minor prophets closing with Malachi until John came. And after Revelation, we're warned in Revelation 22 not to add anything to the book. These YouTube chicks, and I say chicks because it seems like maybe I'm wrong. I'm not trying to be sexist. But it seems to me like it's just outnumbered of women, the men who are on YouTube claiming to have these visions and these dreams. And this one lady comes on there, and someone sent me a clip, and she's like, oh, blah, 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 speaking in gibberish, calling it tongues. And then she's like, oh, and then she starts supposedly prophesying. She doesn't say anything we don't already know. Oh, I'm coming soon. Oh, there is a dark day ahead. Oh, we already know that. But they try to pretend that they're telling us some new revelation. Sometimes these people will claim. They've been on here claiming the rapture is going to happen in, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. I've seen it over and over. They claim the rapture is going to happen. And when it doesn't, people are so stupid they don't turn them off. They're a false prophetess already. They've told you. They claim that the rapture was already going to happen. It didn't happen. Turn them off. And they don't. That's why they still have their channels. The Jade Helm thing. This is April 6, 2016, the date that we're recording this. Jade Helm, back from June to September, about the time of my birthday, it was over. And there were all kinds of YouTube prophets out there claiming, oh, I had a dream last night, this is the end, America is done. They're a bunch of goofballs. And the same people are still on YouTube, and some of you stupid Christians are still listening to them. Please get some common sense somewhere. If I find out they're selling some somewhere, I'll give you the address. We are supposed to be Acts 17:11, 1 John 4:1 Christians, and when someone gets it wrong, they're done. They claim to be prophets, and they get it wrong, they're done. So, Rebecca was listening and hearing God before the Bible is complete. She's given this prophecy. And then verse 24 says, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, just like God said. Verse 25 then says, and there came, there first came out red. Let me say it again. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And now, Esau means hairy. But you notice it said he came out all over like an hairy garment, but it said first came out red. And so Edom means red. And so we're going to see that he's known as Esau, but because he's this redhead, later we're going to see at the end of this chapter where he sells his birthright for red pottage, and that's when the name red sticks. The name Edom sticks. Even though he's red, he's Edom already, but when he sells his birthright for red pottage, that's when the name sticks. And then, of course, Esau will be called Edom at times in Scripture, but also the nation he produces will be known as Edom, or they'll be called the Edomites. And they're the people who build Petra that we talked about at some length in our study in Revelation chapter 12. You can look that up. Verse 26 then says, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So it says, you know, he was 40 when we started this portion of the chapter, but now he's 60 years old. 60 years old and having these boys. I am not even 60 yet, and I can't imagine having kids right now. They were living a little longer back then, probably much healthier anyway. But I can't imagine that. But he's blessed because he wanted these boys. He's still in good health. He has one named Esau, which is hairy. And, you know, just like we had a neighbor who named their little boy Harry. And he was. He had this big, you know, head of hair. Then his other boy's named Jacob. And he grabbed Esau's heel, and so that word is known as heel catcher. Jacob means heel catcher, but it's also interpreted as supplanter, which we're going to see in chapter 27, verse 36. Then Esau's going to make reference to the fact that he's a supplanter, and he's rightly named Jacob. And this is also why God's going to change Jacob's name when he establishes Jacob's offspring as his chosen nation. He'll change his name from supplanter to a prince of God, Israel. And names mean things in the Bible. Today, they don't mean much of anything most of the time. My mother named me Gregory, and until I became a Christian, the name didn't match me, really. But that name means vigilant one, meaning I stay at it, and I'm just vigilant, and I always try to say I'm not trying to boast or anything. I'm just saying that that's a trait now that the Lord has developed in me, and as the Lord tarries, I'm not the best looking guy in the world. I'm not the best teacher you'll ever listen to, as far as I am concerned, or as far as I know. But I plan on sticking to it. Stick-to-itiveness. Keep on keeping on. Be vigilant. That's what I'm all about. And if I may not, that's why I like Pete Rose. And I know he did some wrong things and all that. But as a baseball player, this thing I liked about Pete Rose, he was known. People knew he wasn't the most talented guy on the field. But, man, the guy just hustled. He was called Charlie Hustle. And he just kept on, kept on, kept on. He wouldn't quit. And that's how I try to be as a Christian, serving the Lord and as a Bible teacher. So verse 27, we see that these boys are really opposites. A lot of times you see twins and they're so much alike. Not only do they look exactly alike, but they're just so much alike. In this isn't the case here. One's red and one's probably black-haired, and one's hairy and one's a little less, probably can't grow a full beard, at least as a young man. And then we see this in verse 27. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. In today's vernacular, we would say Esau was the outdoorsman, and Jacob was the suit. He was indoorsman. He was doing everything indoors. He liked to cook, and it doesn't mean he was effeminate, but he wasn't hairy, so he probably was just a little, you know, just one of these guys that just didn't look like the rough, manly, masculine character that Esau looked like. And verse 28 says, And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, I don't want to take that too far. I think that they loved both of them, actually. You notice the text doesn't say they didn't love the other one. But I think it's meaning there was a preference for good or bad. So you not only have sibling rivalry, but then you have parental favoritism going on here. And, you know, Isaac's like, you know, Jacob can cook, but man, Isaac, he goes out and kills his stuff, his venison, and then he grills it. And, oh, man, the way he marinates that stuff and just fixes it and dresses it, oh, whew, Nothing better. You know, Jacob could probably make better cakes and pies, but Esau, he could make, you know, the meat. He could grill it. And the opposite was true with Rebekah. You know, she spent more time with Jacob. Esau would be out in the field all day long, as we see in a minute, and she'd spend more time with Jacob. So that's not a good mix, by the way, when you have sibling rivalry and then parental favoritism. But, you know, even when parents try not to show favoritism, some kids will just see it. They'll just see it there even though it's not there. And all this stuff, this family stuff, you know, don't skip through it. Read it carefully and consider it, because it happens to all of us. And it boils down to the depravity of man. You're not ever going to be able to get along with everybody. I think people credit Abe Lincoln with this, but I think I read somewhere where he wasn't the first to say this. And you know, I'm not a big Abe Lincoln fan, so I won't give him credit unless I have to. But it says, there's a saying that you can please some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can never please all the people all the time. And that's a very good human truthism. And you, as a parent, you just, you know, you can do your best, but they're human beings, and the more kids you have, the more issues you're going to have to deal with. And that's what we're seeing here, I think, to a great extent. In verse 29, it says, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint." Now, I've heard this taught terribly before. Don't take this word faint lightly. First of all, if you've ever fainted, you know what it means. I mean, I fainted one time that I remember in my entire life. I fainted. I was having a outpatient surgery done on my foot, and the doctor, to him, it was nothing. And he said, "You're gonna be okay to just sit there." And I swear I could see what he was doing. I said, "Oh yeah, I'll be okay. I'm a real man. I can handle it." So I'm sitting there, and he's just talking away, and I'm looking at it. And all of a sudden, I go, "Whoa!" I see him cutting. He's cutting into my foot. It's my foot. And I'm just looking at him, and I'm thinking, "Oh, I didn't think that would bother me, but that's bothering me." So I look away. That didn't help, because I could feel the cutting. I could actually feel the vibration. I was numb in my foot, but I could feel the vibration of the cutting into my foot, going up into my leg. And my brain just said, "Lights out!" And I just passed out. I woke up, him going, "You okay? You okay?" I think so. So he positioned me away and moved this way and put something between us and did the rest of it. And I still was bothered by it, even though I couldn't see it. But let me tell you, when you faint, I mean, it's uncontrollable. You're just going out. You know, you can sense it coming. Sometimes for a few seconds, maybe even a few minutes, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go out. And you're out of control. And it's just, you know, so fainting isn't, you know, you see too much of this on TV where people faint and it's no big deal. But it really is a scary thing. But at this point, it's even worse than what I went through with Esau, because he's gone without food for a day or two. He's probably covered miles and miles of territory hunting, and he just wasn't able to catch anything. And I think this is something comparable to, or in the same ballpark with, what we call hypoglycemic shock, which is where your sugar level drops to a dangerous level. And it's also called insulin shock. So you diabetics know what I'm talking about. And if you do, then you understand this is no joke. So we continue in verse 30. It says, "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." See there? He's red, which is Edom. His name is Esau, but he's red. So there was probably already a temptation to call him Edom to begin with. But then he asks for this red pottage, and that then will seal the deal when it comes to his nickname being Edom, red. Verse 31, "And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.'" Now, you can criticize him, but you know what? This is really a fair deal. And Esau should have trusted the Lord. And just like Rebekah prayed because she wanted a baby, you don't see any evidence here that Esau, while he was hunting, or even now that he's very hungry, at what point does it ever say he turned to God and said, "Lord, I'm dying here. You got to feed me. I need. Please bring bring Bambi out here so I can eat something." And he doesn't. So you see the connection there? So don't just get mad at Jacob about this thing. Esau has set this thing up. He's put himself in this position because he's a practical atheist. A lot of Christians live like this. They want to complain, "God doesn't take care of me." Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. In the book of James, you have not because you ask not. And then some have not, aren't given what they ask because they want to consume it on their lusts. And we go on and on. We don't have enough time to get into all that. But that's a good study you need to look into, and we'll cover it at some point, is asking, for starters. You God's not going to answer your prayers if you don't pray. There's no prayers to answer. Esau didn't pray. He didn't ask. And so verse 32, "And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And, of course, Jacob could have said, "You know what, Jacob, let's pray." He doesn't. And verse 33, it says, "And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob." Now, if you read through this quickly, it just seems like it's so casual. The phrase nonchalant. He just gives his birthright for some stew. But like I said, first of all, you got to emphasize how serious the fainting spell here is. But also that Esau hasn't prayed. And when you're desperate, and when you're hungry, if he's going into something like this hypoglycemic shock, you just don't think clearly. And just like people on certain medications or people who drink or whatever, they do things and it just seems like it's so casual that they give the farm away. But throughout the Bible, you're going to see this happen. Just like how easily we're going to see Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery. And it, never to be seen again, except for God working it out. Judas, he's right there, and Jesus says, "The one who stops with me will betray me." And Judas hears him and goes out and does it anyway. It just seems crazy, but that's the way life is. That's the way reality is. And the Christian, you think about Christians who just flippantly throw off their reward, knowing that 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15 says that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And Christians just nonchalant say, "Oh, well, at least I'm saved." It's insanity. So the chapter closes, verse 34. "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of his lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." The end. But that's exactly the same thing happens when an unbeliever hears the gospel and just throws that away for worldliness, to live for this world. And also believers who live for this world and throw off their reward. They're trading in their birthright for a mess of pottage.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.